live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. It's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
From PAX, we're ready for another excellent show, the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's Ara.
And my name is Rich.
What's so funny, you guys? You guys are...
These headphones are so loud, my ears are bleeding when he said that.
Alon, my God. Alon loved it.
That was funny. What I thought was funny was what Penn said on the chat room here, where they're asking what we're going to talk about on today's show, as they do oftentimes. And Rich is like, we're going to talk about your face. And he's like, well, just make sure you open up my face and turn on the easy settings. That's just funny.
Yeah.
It's a good little back and forth.
It's good stuff.
So, like I said, I just came back from PAX. I was there for a few days. Didn't really get to do much of anything other than my show.
You're a hard worker.
Yeah. Well, dude, I basically didn't sleep the night before the show, getting it all ready. And
no need for sleep at conventions.
It's rough. We had to do the surveys, and everything went smoothly getting the surveys, and the show went fine.
Did you get to sign any autographs?
No.
Maybe next year.
I did see some fans of Chatterbox. Had lunch with one of them. Saw another one there. And, you know, they were wondering where Ara was.
And yeah. What did you tell them, though?
I can't remember the excuse that came up for you, but I'm sure it was suitable.
Sweet.
Yeah. So they had all sorts of stuff there, though. Like, I mean, it's turned into a genuine video game conference. Games you can play there that you can't play anywhere else. Gears of War 2 was there.
58,000 people there this year or something, I think, was the official number.
Yeah. It's really big.
Which is crazy, because they're expecting, like, 48 to 50, and we're like, oh, there's a lot more.
What was cool is they announced PAX East Coast for 2010.
Yeah, they did.
And it's in Boston. Now, for those who don't know, I'm from Nashua, New Hampshire, which is right near Boston.
Okay, great, but what about PAX Arizona Coast?
I don't know. But my parents Desert still Edition. Live near Boston, which means I get to go and not have to pay $200 a night for a hotel, which is the situation in Seattle, and that sucks. So... Yeah. I'll be happy to go to PAX.
You don't have to stay at a hotel.
I could just sleep on the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. All right, so I want to tell you some of the questions that happened from...
Oh, yeah.
Are we going to play a game?
No.
Is it going to be like a game?
He's just going to tell us we're going to listen. No.
We'll simulate the game.
I quit.
So there's, in Family Feud, there's normal questions at the beginning of the game. We did 5 rounds, I believe. And then after that, you go into the fast money round where it's just... 2 people being asked 5 questions rapid fire, like the lightning round, right? So I'm going to run some of these questions by you and see what you guys think are suitable answers, and we'll compare them to what the PAX audience thought up as responses to the surveys. So I might ask you, Ara, to name a power-up used by Mario. Very generic question. Yes. What would be your first choice?
My first choice... Well, I really don't like saying first choices, but I'm compelled to say the mushroom.
The mushroom. The mushroom that makes you tall... of course, there's lots of different mushrooms.
Yeah,
but I presume you mean the mushroom in Super Mario Brothers, and the first one, and traveled into other.
You need games. To. I mean, that's not a valid answer.
It is.
You need to signify the type of mushroom.
It's not the mega mushroom or the mini mushroom.
You know what? I'm simulating
the one-up mushroom, the poison mushroom, the reverse.
Okay, listen here, gamer boy. I'm simulating average game fan.
Yeah.
Who's like not going to say what kind of mushroom? He's going to be like the mushroom.
Yeah, and that was a popular answer. Survey said number 2 most popular answer.
Oh, really?
With 20,
I'm next.
20% of the vote.
Fireflower.
Fireflower, number 1.
Oh, ooh. How about the Power Star, like the...
Starman.
Was Frog Suit on there?
Frog Suit.
Please
we
tell
got
me Frog
one,
Suit was on
one
there.
One response for Star Suit didn't make the list.
Frog Suit.
Tanuki Suit made the list. Raccoon Leaf.
Bee Suit.
We got one Bumblebee. One Bumblebee, one Frog. They didn't make the list.
Oh, Frog's right,
question
the coolest
two,
thing ever.
Your favorite Penny Arcade supporting character. So obviously not Gabe or Tycho. Other than that, favorite Penny Arcade character.
What's Penny Arcade?
It's funny.
I'm going to go Tube Ninja.
Cardboard Tube Samurai?
Yeah, whatever it's called.
You know, Mike, Mike, otherwise known as Gabe, the one who draws that and came up with Cardboard Tube Samurai, he was put, we were like, we just, because someone had to steal the answer. They couldn't guess the last answer.
Uh-huh.
So it was up for the steal. And Mike's like, you know, I think it should be CTS, Cardboard Tube Samurai. And I gave him the mic, and he announced that. And unfortunately, it was not on the list. We only got 2, or maybe even 1, for Cardboard Tube Samurai. Didn't make the list. The Fruit Friend, I can't say his real name, the fruit friend.
he's a really good friend, though, right?
He was number one. They had this fantastic... Someone made a fantastic replica of the fruit friend. And, like, you stand in the suit and lights up and you walk around.
I saw that online.
I wanted to get some naughty pictures of it, but yeah. Didn't make it. So anyway, fruit friend was number one. Divnut was number two. Then Anarchy, Tycho's niece, and Charles, the Mac
guy. I got to be honest. I haven't read the comic in a year and a half, maybe.
All right. Well, you should get back on it. It's still funny.
I read a comic every 3 months.
Okay, next question.
Continue.
The first gaming console you ever played. Remember, this is appealing to the Penny Arcade audience, which is young and old, experienced, not experienced.
Well, if I answer honestly...
So, everybody in existence.
What should be on the survey? Like, what would you want to answer? Not necessarily what is the first console you ever played,
yeah.
Although I'm curious to know.
Well,
but what's the answer you think would be most popular?
The latter would be the NES, and the former would be the 2600.
That's true for me as well.
Yeah,
I played the 2600 first, and the NES was the number one answer with 34% of the
vote. Although, if you count playing weird platformer one-screen games on a computer using 8-inch floppies...
Console, man. I said console.
Yeah, but 8-inch floppies.
Okay.
It's not a console.
8-inch floppies. You mean 5 1/4?
No, 8 inches.
I've never seen an 8-inch floppy.
I did once, and it was very scary.
Okay.
I think it's really funny we're talking about 8-inch floppies here.
Yeah,
and how Alon's never seen one. And it's...
Thankfully. All right.
That's floppy disk for all you.
Question number 4. I would ask you or anyone playing the game to recite a video game advertising slogan. This was my favorite question, by the way. It's not the one that got the most press.
All right. I got one in my head right away.
What was the question?
To recite a video game advertising slogan.
Can I call dibs?
Not a good question.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
That's the one I was going to say.
Oh!
And you didn't even do
Genesis,
it with emphasis.
Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
It doesn't really matter. Nintendo don't.
No. And it doesn't even go like that. It goes, Genesis does what Nintendo don't.
Yeah, that did make the list, and people guess it. It was number 5,
nice.
13%.
If you're going to do it, you got to do it right.
I apologize.
EA, it's in the game. Or EA Sports.
Oh, yeah.
No, that was number one.
Now, the one thing I don't understand about that slogan, if you really, like, listen to that sound clip of the guy saying it, it sounds like he's about to, like, just choke and start vomiting. He's like, it's in the game. It's like it's like there's something in his mouth. Like, there's not, like, an obstruction in his larynx or something.
Well, I also combined Now You're Playing With Power and Now You're Playing With Superpower into a single response, which was number 2 with 20% of the vote.
Okay.
But It's in the Game got 23%. Now, for those playing at home, our last question posed to the audience, although I'll tell you the 3 that we didn't get to in the game. The last one was, how would you pass the time if the power went out?
At PAX or anywhere?
Anywhere. Let's say you've got a weekend at home, you're enjoying yourself. How would you spend the time if the power went out?
Use a generator to power the Xbox 360.
And the television, I presume.
Well, yeah.
That would
require a second generator, actually.
Use a generator. I think we got one answer for generator.
Generator?
That did not make the list.
Well, you get like, one more.
You get like 5 minutes of gaming out of that one.
play handheld gaming. People said iPhone,
handheld
PSP,
gaming. Yes.
DS,
or
Game Boy.
Or
Game Boy,
less
Pokemon Blue.
Less technologically adept methods.
The ones that made the press apparently as the not-so-family-friendly part of this game was that people would like to have sex, either with a partner or with themselves. Those are 2 different answers. And the one that ruined them and gave the points to Team 2 to then scoop. They won every single round. They basically swept the whole thing. They did not guess use laptop, although one of the guys on the losing team guessed use laptop, but his captain did not accept it as the stealing answer. He went with go outside, which was not actually on the list.
That's a terrible, terrible idea.
But the final answer that no one got was to either stare or cry.
That's just a terrible idea to go outside.
Go ahead, man. Tell me your answer.
Well, it would depend on the availability of drugs around me.
Yeah, that's exactly what Penn just said
in the comments,
actually.
Get high were some of the responses, but get high didn't actually make the list.
Get high, get low. You know, it can go in a lot of different ways.
The last 3 questions that we were prepared to ask, but which did not actually get asked.
Can I just say something quick?
What?
Going outside would be the worst possible solution, because if the power went out, there's probably a reason caused by weather for it. So going outside, probably not a good idea.
I did that last time.
Oh, it's nice and sunny. The power stopped working.
You haven't lived in Arizona very long. The power goes out here just because everybody uses their AC.
The power goes out when it rained like an inch.
Okay, I want to hear more questions.
Listen, we only have a minute left, so I'm going to go over these 3 last questions. These are the 3 questions that nobody has heard yet because we did not get to them in the actual game. A game you would play at a party. Number one answer, what do you think?
Mario Party.
Oh, Mario Kart.
Rock Band. You two cheeseheads. Mario Kart and Mario Party were both on the list, number three and four, Kart and Party. Difficult Song in Rock Band or the Guitar Hero series?
Difficult Song?
A Difficult Song in Rock Band or the Guitar Hero series.
I'm going to have to go with that one song by Dragon Force.
Dragon Force.
The Fire and Flames.
Yeah, Dragon Force.
That's what I was thinking. That was number one answer.
I was going to say Dragon Slayer, actually.
Timmy and the Lords of the Underworld made it, as did Trogdor.
Trogdor is extremely easy on guitar.
All right, you should have seen Sweet Emotion, some people sent it. Did not make the list.
Sweet Emotion?
Right, the final question was something you might do while also playing a video game.
Playing with myself.
Pleasure Yourself again. Did make the list. It was final on the list.
Repeatedly.
Eat, of course. Number one answer.
One-handed controller. One-handed controller.
So we'll go over the fast money questions when we get back, and then we'll get into a few other things to talk about, and of course introduce to you the guest that we will have next week on the show. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and this is the official PAX edition, I guess, because we're talking about PAX.
Official PAX edition?
Yeah, why not?
I mean,
no.
I guess.
Official?
I don't want to make
first segment.
The whole show PAX.
The first segment was the official PAX segment.
Now it's unofficial? Now we're getting downgraded. All right.
Yep.
So you said you had a couple of...
The fast money questions.
Rumdingers.
I wanted to go over the fast money questions, but before
Zingers.
Do that... As always, I have to mention our fantastic sponsor, UAT, the University of Advancing Technology. Go to uat.edu to learn more about what they have to offer in terms of becoming a student of game design. I guess they do a bunch of other things, too. But
artificial
you know, we talk about them because of game design. So,
you can stop hackers.
They are everywhere.
Sorry.
So in the fast money round, this is when you get one person from the team. The team selects one person. They get up there. They answer five questions rapid fire. They do as well as they can do. Once that person, as well as their partner, comes back on stage and answers the same questions, if they can get 200 points, then they win the big prize. I gave them the big prize anyway, even though they didn't make it. But the first person got 103 points, which is great. You know, you want to try and even.
That's huge. That's
that
like,
person gets 100. The next person gets 100. You win. She got 103. The next guy got like 40 something. So suck for him. They didn't.
Think back in the day they had like space for that third digit on the board.
No, they did.
No, they did. They had to shuffle around some boards.
So here's the fast money questions. First, name a popular Xbox Live Arcade game. Quick. You have only 15 seconds
Uno.
For all five. Uno and?
Geometry Wars.
Okay. Name a video game played without a traditional controller.
I don't want to name any. I quit.
iToy.
iToy. That's the actual controller, not the game.
Then let me say
something
Guitar
you do
Hero.
Something you might do this weekend while not actually at PAX.
Not at PAX?
Yeah.
Play games.
Ingest drugs.
Okay. Name a kick-ass Pokemon.
Mudkip.
You stole my... Okay, fine.
Oh, that's the only one you know.
Yeah, that's like the only one I know, and I don't want to say Pikachu, because that's the lame
Name
one.
Any game for the Atari 2600.
E.T.
You're trying to get the most common one, by the way.
Kaboom.
Okay.
Kaboom.
You're not trying to be hard here. You want to get the most
kaboom.
Popular answer.
That was...
That's fine.
Nobody picked
All right.
Kaboom.
Do you Uno, wanna, number six answer, so you lose
it's
there.
It's the number one most played game on Xbox
That's
Live
fine,
Arcade.
But Geometry Wars was, of course, the number one answer.
Yeah.
32. So far, he's beating you
What's
by
number two?
23 points. Number two is Braid.
Ah.
Fresh
lame.
In their minds. Fresh in their minds. Name a video game played without a traditional controller.
I said Guitar Hero.
You said
About
nothing.
4 seconds too late.
Well, we'll accept it, and you still only get 13 points for number four. And you said...
Alligator.
Alligator? You didn't say anything.
Exactly.
Rock Band, of course, number one answer. You guys are horrible at this
rock
game.
Rock Band, that's stupid. Guitar Hero would be the first one, like, I don't know.
Okay.
They were separate answers.
DDR?
I wanted social commentary here on the first question. Name a popular Xbox Live arcade game.
Mm-hmm.
The number four answer, you might want to sit down for this, was Halo. The number four most popular answer made the list.
I mean, really,
a game that doesn't
you
actually.
You should not have allowed
in their
that
defense,
as a valid answer.
It's the answer. It's what they responded with, man.
Well,
if
they're
you ask
wrong.
Something you might find in a kitchen, and someone were to say
alligator.
A bicycle, That's what I put there.
Well, I know, but only one person would possibly say that, and if somebody guessed it, they'd get 0 points.
11%
I can see how actually people would make that mistake.
11% of that population is wrong.
Because you can download it as an Xbox original, but you can't even play it over Xbox Live.
No, it's Xbox originals are not XBLA games.
I agree.
This is probably the population of people who just heard Xbox, and the only thing in their brain associated with Xbox is the word Halo.
They had a piece of paper
Halo
in front of them, and they wrote the answer.
Yeah.
So.
No. Anyway, I understand.
I don't want to play Halo anymore.
That one bummed me out. But question number three, Fast Money. Something you do this weekend while not at PAX? You said
play games.
Play games, which was on the list. It was number 5. 9 votes. And you said drugs, I think.
Can I change my answer?
All right. Name a kick-ass Pokemon. Mudkip, number 4.
Yeah.
13 votes. Pikachu, I don't know why you were ashamed to give the answer. It would have been number 1.
I like to be unique.
Whoa,
you know?
Stop.
Personalize my answers.
Pikachu was seriously the number 1 answer. The term was kick-ass Pokemon.
Yeah, name a kick-ass Pokemon.
And that many people said Pikachu.
You're taking these questions far too literally.
No, I'm not.
Which one do you think was more popular, Mew or Mewtwo?
Mew is cooler.
Mewtwo.
Mewtwo, 1.
Mew is cooler.
Mewtwo, you know why?
Oh, that's ironic. 1.
More syllables.
Yeah. Oh. It rhymes. Charizard, number 2.
Okay.
All right. Last one. Name any game for the Atari 2600. You said E.T. That was on the list,
yes.
Number 6. And you said Kaboom. not on the list.
First Berserk came to mind.
Berserk was actually answered by the guy on stage, the second guy,
and then I said,
wrong.
That's too obscure. I'm going to pick Kaboom.
Berserk is nice.
Although
Berserk is far more popular than Kaboom, given that I can picture Berserk and I cannot picture Kaboom.
See, I don't even remember what Berserk looks like. So.
Well, I know what Berserk looks like.
It's like a little robot dude shooting little lasers.
Yeah.
And you kind of face one direction, and it's really hard.
Anyway, something you do this weekend while not at PAX, have sex, did make the list. Only number 7, though.
Drugs.
Number 1 Atari 2600 game, Pong.
Oh.
Number 1 answer, Pong.
I guess. It was.
All right. So anyway, that was my weekend. Somehow, this small number of questions and answers managed to take me about 24 hours to produce. So.
That's fantastic.
That was a rough night. But. Game show is over. I think we did a good job, although I could have been a little bit spunkier on stage. I was not...
That's why you come to me for the drugs.
Got some improvements to make. We've had some criticisms or some ways to improve. Picking the people live at the show doesn't work very well.
Yeah.
Here's what it comes down
to. Especially when they're on the street.
Was it improvement over last year? Or did you at least break even? You didn't get worse.
I don't know, man. I don't know how to gauge that. I think my performance may not have been as good as last year. However, the show was put together better because the rules were more established.
Okay. So as long as it wasn't worse than last year.
But the person running the computer did a much better job than you did.
Oh.
She
gave somebody 10 extra points, I might add.
She did.
She did tell me that, and I didn't do that. But I did, I think, completely stop it at one point.
So how was our new special friend, Jamie Fristrom?
I forgot to mention that part. So we had these two teams. One team was the Schizoid team. We actually got Jamie, who was our guest on last week's show here on Chatterbox. He was the captain of the Schizoid team. And then I went to one of the other developers in the PAX 10 group, the developers of Strange Attractors 2. All right. And we got Brent, who is one of the – there's only 5 guys on that team, right? So I don't know if one of them is considered the lead. But anyway, he was there. He was the captain of the Stranger Tractors 2, or SA2, team. They did a good job. They cleaned up. They won every single round. And those kids won a lot of money. So, anyway, we're going to have one of the guys from the Stranger Tractors 2 team, hopefully, on the show next week. I haven't put in the final arrangements, but that's the plan, to have someone. I don't think it's going to be Brent. It might be Chris or Eric. But they're going to talk about that. That game is actually available through Greenhouse, which is the hothead distribution method, which was created...
I have no idea what that is.
All right, so you know the Penny Arcade video game.
Mm-hmm. Heard of it.
Hothead Games developed that, and they developed a distribution method called Greenhouse to go with it, and now they've started distributing other games because it was so successful. You know, kind of like Steam, I guess. I don't know enough about either one to tell you what the major differences are.
So it's like Steam, but a lot slower acting.
It's just
a
digital distribution method. That's all that you need to know. And one of the first games is Stranger Tractors 2, which I really like. We'll talk more about the game next week. I won't waste time doing it now. But I think it's a really fun game. It's very simple. And I like it. And that's why I picked them to be on the show with us. And then hopefully we can promote it a little bit. It only got released last week. Just a bunch of kids who just got out of school or have jobs or whatever. But like they're not big game designers.
Yeah, what is it?
Indie game.
PC, Xbox Live?
PC only right now.
PC only?
And so if
Flash
you want to take my word for it.
No,
it's downloadable full PC game.
Yeah.
But it's available through Greenhouse. So figure out how to download that. And do so and pay for it, because it's actually a really good game. I can't imagine it costs a whole lot of money, but we'll get all the details next week, and hopefully they can tell you how they designed it. And you're going to need to make sure you play it, both of yous,
before
next week's show. There's a demo available.
So,
Strange Attractors 2.
Apparently, the word is on the chat room that Red Green said that the Family Feud is much better this year. So it's official.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. We've certainly gotten a lot of good response about it.
Yep.
But Joystick kind of beat me up a little bit.
Why?
Joystick.com. Go read their article.
I'll stab him in the face.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be back after the break.
Me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woohoo!
We are back again, Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. Now, I talked about PAX, talked about our Family Feud event. That's over. We'll do it again next year. I might bring back the Chatterbox Treasure Box show next year.
I think we should.
Don't know. People were clamoring for it. They wanted it. But, I mean, it is a lot of work, and I got a mooch from a bunch of prizes from companies, and I hate mooching for stuff.
People want what they don't have.
Yeah, tell
it's
me
true.
About it. That's,
so how
that's
about
what
we
I told them there.
No prizes and see if people want it.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
And people don't want what they have already, so there.
All right. Well, anyway, going to put that behind us. It went pretty well. Certainly, if anyone was there and would like to comment on it, I'd love to get some emails to hear your thoughts and criticisms on the show, and if you'd like to see it come back next year. I certainly enjoyed it,
and
even if I didn't get any sleep.
Praise, we love the
praise. Is especially good. It was weird. I got somebody that that I went to school with like 8 years ago at IU. He emailed me and says, hey, I just heard you were at PAX. I wish I knew when I was there, because I would have come and say hi, but he didn't know. And then I saw a few PAX or Chatterbox listeners while we were there. And so even if I didn't see this guy from school, but it was all a very good time. So
cool.
Anyway, during the breaks, we have been talking about this Leipzig thing, or Leipzig, or whatever you want to call it, right?
Yes. Specifically, there was a game conference a few weeks ago at Leipzig, in I guess that's in Germany, right?
Yeah, everybody in the chat wanted us to talk about it, but I just didn't care when it was going on.
Yeah, at first I didn't care either, but then I actually read what happened, and I found it utterly fascinating.
Okay,
so
lay it on me.
Let me give you guys a little background on this situation.
Yeah, because I didn't read it.
Of course you didn't. So, at the Leipzig Game Conference, there was an installation about, there was an art installation about Space Invaders, all right? And they had this, I guess one part of this installation was a Space Invaders game that you could play. But it's not just any Space Invaders game. It's a Space Invaders game where the Space Invaders are attacking the World Trade Center.
That's the best kind of Space Invaders game, if you ask me.
And it's an 8-bit, one or two color graphical depiction of the World Trade Center towers.
8-bit?
Yeah, 8-bit.
Really?
It's not 4-bit.
Space Invaders.
Well, was the Atari 8-bit?
Yeah.
Are you kidding
what?
Me?
What?
Yeah.
I thought it just had like 1-bit.
No. You can't really do much with 1-bit.
It's a color on a screen.
Yeah, it was using an 8-bit processor, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, I mean, it wasn't like 8-bit 256 colors, but I digress.
It was 8 colors.
That's fantastic.
Maybe 16.
I thought that was closer to 4, but anyway.
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyway, so the Space Invaders game has sparked this enormous controversy. So much controversy, in fact, that
I read it on one blog.
You may have read it on one blog, but 3 days after the installation started, the guy who actually came up with it and produced it felt compelled to take it down because he was getting so much flack from it, from people's reactions to it, on blogs, in person.
But come on, he knew.
Whatever.
If you're going to do something that involves anybody shooting at the World Trade Center, you know that that's going to get a lot of reaction, even if you do it in Germany.
Well, maybe he had a sense of that, but I really believe that he didn't really expect this level of, what's the word, lashback reaction. You know,
he certainly makes it sound like he didn't expect it, but I don't know why he didn't expect it. That's
well, I don't know why either, but here's the part of it that's really interesting to me, is that if you look at how people are reacting to this sort of thing, most of the people who react negatively toward it, every once in a while there's, you know, if you read on blogs and the internet and stuff like that, every once in a while there's a reaction that has like some sense of like intellect to it. But most of them are simply, oh, this is featuring the World Trade Center.
How dare he?
Or I don't sit well with this, or it's in really poor taste. And if you really look at it, you realize that almost nobody has making any attempt whatsoever to look into this issue any deeper than that. And so as a piece of art, I find this to be really fascinating, because what he's doing, whether you like it or not, is he's putting this very, very vague, undefined juxtaposition, right? Space invaders. Okay, space invaders is one of like the most innocuous things ever. I mean, it doesn't represent something innocuous, but it is, right? I mean, like, you know, what could... No, nobody gets offended by space invaders, right?
Well, and then, not unless you put a backdrop of the tower.
Well, yeah. And then you do something that's also like relatively... You make a relatively simple change to it, and all of a sudden you get this like this huge outcry about it, right? And when people look at this, right, people feel bad. They feel uncomfortable, right? And they don't know why. And so all they do is, instead of like thinking about, you know, why am I feeling this way and what about this juxtaposition is causing these feelings, right? They just say, oh, it's in poor taste. I'm offended. Get this out of my face, you know? And it gets even worse. Like, and people are giving, you know, death threats to this guy. They're saying like, oh, I'm going to make an art exhibit where I'm going to stick the Eiffel Tower up your butt. That's really funny. And things like that, right?
I just don't understand why they're so upset. Like, wouldn't they like to play out a scenario where they're protecting the World Trade Center?
That's the irony in all of this. I mean, there's so many layers that you could look at this in. And that's why I really love ambiguous compositions like this, because you can look at it in so many different ways. And that's the first thing, right? Even if you take it at face value, right? You're shooting invaders that are invading something that's very sacred and ostensibly sacred, I guess.
It is now.
Yeah. But at least, you know, something that has value, right? You know, okay, they can be invading your country, or they can be invading, you know, some other important location or whatever, right? But just because there was this big incident about it, right, now all of a sudden the whole color has changed. It's suddenly like, no, you can't talk about this, you know? Which is one thing I understand. Here's another level that you can look at it on. What this says to me, personally, is that, you know, if you think about what's happening in a lot of, like, violent games, right, we never think about, you know, what actually our actions in games represent. You know, we're just like, oh, okay, you know, I'm in this ship and I'm shooting the bad guys, right? And, like, you know, pick like, any game. You know, most, like, half of the games are basically based on that type of conflict, where there's
Show
a bad
anything.
Guy... blowing up something, and you're trying to blow them up, right?
Sure.
I mean, that kind of conflict. And nobody thinks about it. It's not emotional for anybody, right? Not that it should be. It's fine. You know, it's a game. It's just the game, right? So there's that. But now, if you think about it, like, now the invaders are shooting the World Trade Center. Now, how is that different?
Well, I mean, what he's done is inject real emotion into it, right?
Right. But here's
and
what
my question is: what is it? Just a static image of the World Trade Center, too?
It gets a little bit of the. Not only did he stick the knife in, but he twisted it a little bit.
Why?
Because as the space invaders shoot the holes inside into the Trade Center, and you see these holes show up, you see like little people come out and like jump out.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Which is what happened, right?
Well, yeah.
I've seen a lot worse images.
Here's the thing. I think people do not want to be reminded of not only of this event in specific, but just in general, that, you know, conflict that's represented in games. They don't want to be reminded that something like that, I think, can actually happen, or they don't want it to relate to things that have actually happened. You know, like World War II simulators, for example, right? Most of us, especially kids, there's absolutely no emotional content to those things, right? Because it's just so far separated from your reality. On the other hand, you know, there have been World War II veterans who are interviewed about World War II games, and they're like, I think that, you know, that's, they say the exact same comments that people say about this art installation. They say, you know, I it's in bad taste. You know, it's like it's a sacred, hallowed thing, and they shouldn't depict it in a game. And it shouldn't be effed with.
We've heard that before, but it doesn't get a lot of voice behind it.
It doesn't, and the thing is,
World War II games are popular.
Well, that's the thing.
Apparently, Space Invaders doesn't matter. Well, I mean,
most people who play games aren't veterans. Yeah. You know? At least World War II games. I don't know. Maybe some really love them still. I don't know. I mean, I'm sure you can find all kinds. Anyway, yeah. I have a couple more points to say about this, and then we can go on to more interesting things when we get back.
Perhaps. This whole thing, like, I just don't know if I want to spend time caring about it.
Yeah. If you care, you can call 866-536-1100.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio, and we're talking about the Space Invaders controversy at the Leipzig Games Conference.
I don't, like I said,
the 9/11 controversy.
I don't know how much I care. Like, it's just when
it's,
I find
it's not that big a deal. But what I care about,
it's so 3 weeks ago.
Is yes, it is. But what I care about is the fact that people are reacting in this way to something that's really relatively innocuous in the whole
scheme of
things.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of people, there's a lot of stupid people who make a lot of stupid decisions.
Yes.
And anytime I find examples of that, I tend to just want to roll my eyes, move on to things that are more important in life.
Yeah, I can see that.
Like, I have to be apathetic to these things because they're just wastes of time. Like, there's going to be people doing stupid things all the time.
Well, right,
and
but
if
this
I
is
take
not,
note of them,
this
then
is
I can
not just the
those,
stupid part, though.
Well, where's the part that I need to care
this
about?
This is, I mean, don't you see the humor in this? That there's you're defending America from invaders.
And they get upset about it?
And what could be upsetting about that?
Yeah, I would expect them to be happy about it.
Exactly.
But it's like everyone is just suddenly saying, oh, I'm too shy. I'm too quiet. I don't want to see these images of people jumping out of a building. It hurts me. Like, they suddenly turn into these sensitive little monkeys. Like,
well, there's something, I don't know, there's something weird about it. It's kind of like,
what are we?
I don't know. It's kind of weird, you know.
All right. Well, anyway, Penn's on the line, and he wants to talk about a 9/11 game. But before we get to him, got to remind everybody about UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology, where you can go to learn more about the programs that they offer. So, Penn, you are going to be on the air in just a second. Why don't I just
stand by?
There you go. You are on the air.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Ben?
All right. We got about 10, maybe 5 minutes.
I just wanted to mention that, first of all, the sort of video game imagery and 9/11 related stuff, like, you just see those online all the time. So it's sort
like
of...
Like what? Like, what's an example?
Like Rampage. Like the Rampage monsters, like, bashing down the 9/11 towers.
Right, but that was, like, an image that, like, somebody just posted going, har, har, right? Like, that wasn't, like, a...
Oh, no, it
art
it,
installation or anything, was
no,
it?
No, it wasn't an art installation. That's the only difference, really, is that somebody showed it in public. Like, if you can find thousands of these with different video games, like, there's Street Fighter versions, it's just...
Yeah. Well, the difference here is that when you post a picture on the internet, you have to make the assumption that the person who finds that picture wanted to find it, was trying to find it, or certainly has the ability to just
remove it. Or they're on the website
it.
Where but they should expect to see it.
Displaying it in public where... Like, at a place where lots of people are going to be going for another purpose is a different story. Public expression and all that. So I wouldn't exactly compare just someone making an image. Because people draw up plenty of offensive images all day long, right?
This is true.
But there's a difference between drawing it and then putting it in a place with tens of thousands of people.
Actually, here's one other thing that gets me about this whole thing is that so many people are saying, oh, this guy is just an attention whore. He obviously just did this for the express purpose of getting attention and nothing else. And you know what? If you look at it as an art piece, right? If you actually look at art, maybe that was the guy's intention. Maybe it wasn't, right? It actually doesn't matter if you look at something like that as art because, you know, it's like Dali said, right? Salvador Dali, famous surrealist painter, he even admitted himself, you know what, like, people make connections in my paintings that I never even thought of when I painted the thing, right? And at first glance, you're like, okay, well, if people make those connections, then obviously they're not valid, right? But in general, you know, the art community has accepted other interpretations of things as being valid interpretations.
But isn't the whole point of art to get attention? I mean, you would make it.
Well, in a way, yes. But the whole argument of, oh, he's just an attention whore, I think is just an excuse not to find the value in something. And you know what? I actually think that, you know, this kind of an exhibit has value.
Well, if you look at a lot of video games that deal with real life situations, we sort of have it set up in this weird way where we don't really get the really gritty, nasty details. For example, I played hundreds of World War II shooters. I have not seen any Holocaust imagery. I haven't seen just people being tortured and, like, stuff that happened that would... Because if you ask the game developers, they're like, we modeled the gun exactly like it is in real life. There's absolutely no difference. And yet, the bad stuff that made that war, you never get to hear about.
Right,
all you know is that the Germans are bad, and that's it.
Right. Well, we get like a sanitized version of, you know, that interpretation, right? But the interesting thing is that it's sanitized on a level of detail, right? But in terms of like the activity that you're actually partaking in, I mean, yeah, you know what? You know, you're killing people, you're blowing up stuff, and you know what? That's just a horrible, terrible thing to do in real life. And my
guess is that the dev team they have to live with that for several years, so they don't want to have to do one of those death camps, like modeling that. Like, that's got to be a bummer.
Well, yeah, I mean, not only that, I mean, they don't want to incite any kind of displeasure amongst people, right?
You could always just have a German dev team do it.
I mean, a video game as commercial product, right, is something that, you know, you don't want to piss people off. You want to make people feel good so they'll buy it, right? But if you use video game as art, then your intention is not necessarily to make people feel good. In fact, it may be the exact opposite. And that's perfectly valid, and we need to have that. And we don't need to have people being scared away from it or not doing those things because they're afraid of people's reactions.
Like movies and music, you're allowed to make people feel uncomfortable. You're allowed to do things that are controversial. But games, because it's still under the limelight of this is for children, you really can't step over that boundary.
Well, no. I don't think it has anything to do with games. I think it has to do with the context of this particular imagery, right? If you made a movie that was that people didn't feel was in good taste, like basically we could talk about destroying the World Trade Center, but only if we do it in a way that is like historically accurate and has the right mood music to make it look like the cinematographers care about it. But if they're making fun of it, if they're making fun of you, of anybody destroying the World Trade Center, they're going to get plenty of flack for it, just like a video game is.
Right, but on the other hand, also, I think for some reason, certain things, like almost any depiction, unless it's like utterly patriotic, seems like it's unacceptable. I mean, if you go to like, you know, I went to the Holocaust Museum when I was a kid, you know? I went there and I saw pictures of concentration camps. I saw pictures of dead bodies, you know, row after row after row. You know? That's okay. I guess that's okay.
But I think it's one of those situations where, I'm sure you know somebody who's made, like, a joke referring to 9/11 and you weren't immediately offended. It's one of those, like, a lot of black comedians have mentioned this. If you look at a black comedian performing, there's nothing but black people in the audience. However, the people who consume the most black comedy are actually white people. But you never see them in the audience. It's sort of like...
Because maybe they'll get beat up.
Or
maybe they feel like they can't be accepted in that crowd. However, they still do consume, and it's one of those things where, well, if we're doing it in real life, if I make a joke to one of my friends about 9/11, or I say something inappropriate about some tragedy, and then all of a sudden I put it in a video game or I put it in a movie, it really seems weird that people get offended because you know somebody or you've done it yourself.
Yeah, there's definitely a disconnect there. I don't know. I don't think it's related to necessarily people thinking that games are for kids in general, but I do think that it has something to do with all the baggage that comes with video games. It just seems like people aren't ready to understand that, you know, an interactive experience, a game could be used for, you know, art purposes and not for hedonistic ones. For example, this whole art exhibit, one of the first times it was reported on, the reporter didn't understand that it was interactive, and so they basically explained this description of what was happening as if, you know, it was just like, you know, that was it, right? They didn't understand that there was any interaction going on. Not only that, a lot of the confusion from this whole incident comes from the fact that people didn't understand that it was actually you were defending the World Trade Center. You were not attacking the World Trade Center, you know? Subtle difference, right? But it's a really huge difference. You know, you just switch around a few words and you get something completely different. People just say, oh, World Trade Center.
What I actually get out of this is that it basically demonstrates that people see anything to do with a video game is probably childish and not considered enough. Like, it's not... It's not something to be taken seriously because it involves a video game.
I think you're right.
Which is strange, though, because the crowd at Leipzig is not that kind of person. They're the ones who appreciate video games, can see stuff for what it really is, at least in terms of when it's a video game medium.
Yeah.
And so I was kind of surprised to hear that they got all upset about this. And I think it's... Even if you're that kind of person, you might also be the ultra-sensitive, we don't want to know or think about America getting shot sort of thing, which is just a little bit silly. Anyway, next week, we're going to have someone on the show from the Stranger Tractors 2 team, like we mentioned earlier. So from now to then, please go give it a try. You can go find it somewhere on the internet, Stranger Tractors 2. It's in PAX 10 as well. Go to PennyArcadeExpo.com.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.